Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
If you happen to be a real estate novice, like myself, then the extent of your knowledge is probably three words that begin with the letter L. Location, location, location. Where the place is matters so much that we have to use the word three times to bring to the fore just how important it is. I think that this real estate theme plays out in at least three ways for us this morning as we encounter the gospel, or perhaps better said, as the gospel encounters us. The first bit of spatial import is where we are located in St. Mark's account. We're in the smack dab middle of the story, and this matters. As you know, Mark's account has a kind of urgency about it. It's as if a curtain on a theatrical stage is lifted right at the beginning, and the drama simply does not let up. Perhaps you can imagine a dark stage with one singular spotlight on this mysterious man who has the power to work wonders and the authority to teach, all in the name of a reported kingdom of God. Let's face it, if we came to this story on Broadway with never viewing the preview, it would be shocking and difficult. And where we are this morning in the spectacle is meant to be just these things. Up to this point in the text, we've witnessed multiple misunderstandings and rejections of Jesus by the Pharisees, by the Herodians, by his own family, his neighbors in Nazareth, even the people who dropped their nets to follow him, his so-called disciples. In other words, misunderstanding is rampant. It's all over the place. And our location, the location of our reading this morning, right in the middle of Mark's gospel, is meant to begin to set some of these misunderstandings straight. This moment shifts our thinking. Wonder worker, sure. Teacher, with authority. But who on earth, for heaven's sake, are we talking about? Enter Jesus' question to his followers, which is to say his question to us. Who do you say that I am? This is a crucial turning point in the story, and the direction of the journey shifts from here to the very end of the gospel. More about this shift and what it means in a bit. But first, let's consider a couple more locations that might help us dig a little bit deeper. So the second point of locale that impacts our understanding is concretely geographical. Jesus and his disciples are said to have ventured to Caesarea Philippi. It's here that the exchange between Peter and our Lord takes place. And why does it matter that this crucial exchange, this crucial turning point of the story, about this crucial question about Jesus' identity, happens here? We need to do a little bit of historical lifting, but perhaps the name of the place gives much of it away. This was a city in the northern part of Israel, and the emperor Augustus had given it to Herod the Great. Herod's son, Philip, subsequently rebuilt the city and named it after himself and the emperor. Not a bad political move. I understand that the bluff in Caesarea Philippi has large carved depictions of emperors. Think Mount Rushmore, or Stone Mountain for that matter. So this is the backdrop of our stage, the stage props, if you like. If we picture Jesus with a simple spotlight on a dark stage before, the scenery is now shifting. The building up of Mark's story to this question, who do the people say that I am, and who do you say that I am, happens with the rulers of the day carved in massive stone in the background. All the misunderstandings of this mysterious man are beginning to be brought into focus in this provocative setting. So, second point, location matters. The third piece of location I want to raise up for us has to do with us. As the readers and hearers of this story this morning, today is likely the last Sunday worshiping in this space. I understand we're going somewhere else, but I'm new here. It's been inspiring, truly, to hear reports of what this location has meant to people. Stories of feeling more closely connected to others. Reports of sensing the missional character of the church that can bring its sacraments into all sorts of places, even cafeterias with ice jingling in the background. I've heard of other stories of people feeling that their devotion to Mary, the Mother of God, and the angels has been enhanced. I could go on, but the point is that this place, this location, has mattered. It's been in this place that you've wrestled with Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" It is in this location that the Church of the Holy Innocents has discovered something more of what God is calling us to, as we answer this question not just with our intellects, but also with our hearts, with our lives, our habits, our desires. I urge you to claim this experience. Claim this time together in this space. This location is part of our story now, and it matters. Now, I promise to say more about how the gospel story shifts and what it means from this midpoint going forward. Let's try to get at it from this angle. If you haven't noticed, I don't know where you've been, it's election season. My colleagues and friends will know that I like to entertain the idea that it would be much more interesting, if claiming to follow Jesus lost votes. I'd be very curious to see how many public figures would be so blunt about their faith commitments. I wonder, have we, like St. Peter, become too quick to blurt out that we know just who Jesus is, even if we get the titles right? Messiah, the Christ, Lord, the Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth. Do we own up to what it really means to answer his question? Does our response shift? Our habits? Our desires? It seems that in our Western culture, it's become too easy to profess Jesus with our lips and not follow him in our lives. Peter was quick to blurt out, "You're the Messiah." Well done, Peter. You're right. But what about when Jesus shows up as a Messiah who must be rejected and put to death? Peter rebukes. The language is clear that he rebukes Jesus for this suggestion of a suffering Messiah. But aren't we tempted to do the same thing when following Jesus winds up looking costly? When it looks like we have to bear one another's burdens? The mystery of Mark's gospel before us this morning, the shifting point in the story, is the paradoxical idea that we must deny ourselves to find real life. And let me be clear in saying that this does not mean delayed gratification, that we have to wait to be happy. That interpretation is to fundamentally miss the point and the meaning of true self-denial. Jesus is talking about the kind of self-denial that sets aside our own private agendas that do not consider others, and taking on a new life of seeing each other as being in it all together. Both a wonderful and deeply challenging notion. It's in the pouring out of our life for each other, dropping our privatizing agendas and working together, that we discover real and lasting gratification. Might we call it everlasting joy? Taking up our cross, to use our Lord's phrase, is to drop self-maneuvering and to take up one another. To be for each other as the body of Christ in the world. Talk about good news in a divisive and competitive and violent world. This is a better way, a way of real life and deep and abiding joy. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" As we move into our new and beautiful space just through these doors, let's keep this question at the fore. And let's set about answering it not only with our lips, but discovering it in our lives by dropping what needs to be dropped and taking up one another, carrying each other back to the altar of our joy each week. And in this way, being for the life of the world, seeking to embody a harmonious rhythm in the midst of so many offbeat tunes. If we can do this, commit to this, then people will know that location matters. Where you situate yourself matters. It can shift things. And others just might want to come explore our new place. I've said these things to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.